Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, as usual, this is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association's weekly blog radio show. I'm basically by myself today. Steve had another commitment, but I'm Janice Cromer, the director, and Beth, part of our homeport crew, will join us for our commercial. Before we begin, I'd like to acknowledge and thank our Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Regatta Point Yachting Center, Waterway Guides and Magazine, and Skipper Bob Publications. That's Dozier's Regatta Point and Dozier's Waterway Guides. For those non-members listening out there, this show is, for those non-members, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, which of course encompasses the Atlantic and Gulf intercoastal waterways. Then we go through the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. AGLCA, which is our acronym, is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure and curiosity about America's Loop. Our association's primary purpose is to disseminate information and enhance the overall experience for those learning about, dreaming of, as well as cruising America's Great Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org. There's loads of free stuff on that and loads of information about the Loop. And if you're not a member, we'd love for you to join. As an alternate route to get to the Georgian Bay, we welcome our host this week, Jim Wagner. Jim is going to be telling us about Canada's Triangle Loop. Jim is also the owner of Regatta Point Marina in Topping, Virginia, which is located off the Rappahannock River, which is off of Chesapeake Bay. Regatta Point is a valued lieutenant sponsor for AGLACL, and we thank them. Jim, thank you very much. I know you've got a very, very busy day on this Friday morning. I appreciate the time you're giving us.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Janice. It's good to be here, and this is one of my favorite topics, clearly one of my most enjoyable cruises of my life, so I'm happy to talk about it and share what I can with the crew.
Thank you. For those of you who were at our spring rendezvous, you remember that Jim gave a wonderful presentation on Canada's Triangle Loop. Obviously, today he's got to condense that quite a bit, but Jim, why don't you tell us, when did you do the Triangle Loop?
We did it last year, and we started May 28th is when we left home, and we left from the Chesapeake. I'm not going to talk about all the pieces up to New York, but you may remember that last spring we had a lot of torrential rains and some of the Erie Canal got damaged, so we ended up doing the loop backwards, and I'll explain that later as we get into the program. But we did it last year, and we returned home on about the middle of August, August 15th, we came back, and that was all the way back to the Chesapeake.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of our loopers, and anybody who was stuck up there will never forget it. The Erie Canal had major problems. People sat 6 and 7 weeks up in the Erie Canal hoping for it to fully open, and many did take the alternate route. Jim, what waterways exactly comprise the Triangle Loop?
Well, if you think of the Triangle Loop almost like a circle, even though it's called Triangle, the bottom at 6 o'clock would be you start at Troy, New York, and if you go clockwise, you go into the Erie Canal, and then you go up the Oswego Canal or Oswego Canal up to Lake Ontario. And if you do the true triangle, you go from Ontario, you go to Kingston, and you enter the Rideau Canal. It's pronounced Rideau, but it's spelled R-I-D-E-A-U. So you have a tendency to want to say Rideau, but everybody says Rideau. And then that takes you to the Ottawa River in the actual city of Ottawa. In fact, you go right downtown through downtown Ottawa, which was just quite an experience. You take the Ottawa River to Montreal, which is another lovely city, and then from there you get on the St. Lawrence relatively short distance, and you go to Sorel, which takes you down to the Richelieu River. And from the Richelieu River, you go almost due south, and you tie into the Chambly Canal, and then Lake Champlain, which, of course, is the dividing line between Vermont and New York.
Uh-huh.
And you continue southward on that to the Champlain Canal, which then brings you back to Troy, New York. So it's really a complete circle. Now, there is
uh-huh.
an alternative. Yes, there is an alternative to that, too, Janice, I'll touch on.
Okay. Do you recommend doing it clockwise or counterclockwise?
Well, the reason that it's encouraged to do it clockwise is because if you're going to be doing one of the other alternatives, which is to take the St. Lawrence and not do the canal, the Rideau Canal, you're fighting a current if you go up that way. So
okay.
If you go clockwise, you have the tide and the current of the St. Lawrence. If you do what we did, you're not on the St. Lawrence very long, and I really wouldn't let that be a factor in my decision-making unless you're a very, very, very slow trawler. But we had no problem whatsoever, and you're not on it that long. You know, you have maybe one day's worth of travel on the St. Lawrence, and then you're out of it. So it really doesn't make that much difference unless,
okay.
unless you're going to go through the Thousand Islands and come all the way down the St. Lawrence from Lake Ontario. Then it's a different story.
And that brings me to my next question. Basically, an idea of the length of the distance of each of the legs as far as nautical miles.
Well, if you, the entire loop is about 774, 75 miles.
Oh, my goodness, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yes, it is. But there's lots and lots of stops. But to give you a sense for that, if you the part of the Erie Canal that you're going to be on, it's called the Eastern Erie, is about 160 miles.
Okay.
And then the
Oswego. That's a nice big chunk of it.
Yeah, that's a big chunk of it. And there's lots of towns, great places to stop, lots of marinas. You go through Lake Oneida Lake and all of those things. It's some really interesting things to see and stop at. So there's no big hurry to make that 160 miles. You can take your time.
Especially if it's not opened.
Yeah, that's right. Now, there is an important website. If you go to... If you're going to do this, if you go to the New York Canal System, just do a Google for New York Canal Systems, and there is an alert that you can subscribe to, and they'll give you daily, anytime there's a change in status of any lock or any of the passage on the Erie Canal or any of the New York Canal Systems, they'll give you an alert so you can stay up to date on that. And that's what helped us make our decision is to go on the other way.
In fact, Jim Callahan, the deputy director of the New York Canal Systems, was our guest host, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and he told us the site's been updated and they're trying to make it more user-friendly, and I think they've done a good job.
Oh, yes. It's very easy, and it's automatic. So you open up your emails, and there's a notice. Hopefully there's not too many of them, but so far
yeah.
this year, there's already been quite a few.
Okay, the Erie Canal is way about a quarter of the whole length, and then idea of the different lakes.
And then you have to turn north and go up the Oswego, and that's 24
uh-huh.
miles to
I'm
Lake
sorry?
Ontario. And then you have to cross the lake, which is about 50 miles, and that's pretty much a one-day shot. Although there are some islands you can stop at, and like I said, there's an alternative. If you wanted to, you could, instead of crossing all the way across Lake Ontario, you can turn east and go down the St. Lawrence through the Thousand Islands, which is another beautiful trip. It's
uh-huh.
just different, not one that I'm going to talk about today.
Okay.
But if you go across Lake Ontario to Kingston, that's about 50 miles. And then
and
you get on the...
And that's pure open water, correct?
That's open water, and really of all the passages that we did on this trip, even the ocean passages from up the New Jersey coast from the Chesapeake, Lake Ontario was the roughest.
Was it really?
Well, it really was. My wife never gets seasick, but she did that time.
Oh.
Well, one of the things that was interesting is the Canadian equivalent of NOAA, their report wasn't very accurate. We stayed in Kingston a couple days waiting to cross Lake Ontario, and then we got a couple good reports. We took off, but they weren't very accurate. But we were committed, and I said, let's just press on, and we did.
Uh-huh. Sometimes that's the only way to do, just get it over with and do it.
Yeah, it wasn't life-threatening or anything, but it was uncomfortable for sure. And we have a relatively big boat, and it tossed it around pretty good.
Really? What kind
best
of boat
part
do
of
you have, Jim?
We have a 46 Grand Banks.
Oh, that's a heavy boat, too.
It's a very, very heavy boat. And we didn't take anything over the bow or anything like that, but it was just you know, they were probably pulling 6 to 7 foot
constant. Were they really? Wow.
Waves.
And then where do you go from there after the Oswego and Ontario?
From Lake Ontario, you go into Kingston, which is another lovely city. You can spend several days there easy. Very nice port, which was the original capital of Canada, just as a side note.
Really?
You get on the Rideau Canal at that point. And to me, the Rideau was the absolute highlight of the trip. It's an absolutely stunning passage. And that's 80 miles. Not 80 miles, 126 miles.
Okay.
Higher Rideau. There's a lot of locks on that. There's 49 locks on that. But these locks were built.
I missed that, Jim. Did you say 40?
49.
49, wow.
Yes. Put that in perspective.
And it's not that long.
No, it's not. To give you a comparison, the part of the Erie that you do, there's 34 locks on that. And they're big locks, so they're all, uh-huh. All these locks, and we can talk about locks in a few minutes. They're not intimidating, but the Rideau locks were built in the 1800s, and they're absolutely spectacular. They're beautiful, and all the lock masters have a competition with the next lock master to have a prettier sight than he does. So when you get there, you have
beautiful
flowers. It's manicured. It's just they're lovely spots, and you can spend the nights there, which we did quite a bit of.
Uh-huh.
Definitely what a highlight of the trip. From there, you end up in Ottawa, which is a beautiful city, and literally the canal goes right through downtown. You have the Parliament building on one side of you, the train station on the other. I mean, it's really a beautiful trip.
That
and you
sounds
get on the
pretty
Ottawa
much like
River.
What happens when you go through Chicago. The city is just there on top of you.
Very much the same. Very much
uh-huh.
the same. Only there's a bunch of locks. You have a flight of 8 locks right there in downtown that you have
downtown?
To go through. Right downtown. So you have all these tourists taking pictures, and it's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
Well, then you get on the Ottawa River, and you go east, sort of northeast, more east than north, and that's 97 miles. And there's only two locks on that whole ride. But they're very big, very, very big locks. Not scary, but just big.
Just big. I guess
you're
not
you
intimidated by locks. You've been through so many.
Yeah, but the little Rideau locks are tiny little things, and they're real cute. It's and they're not scary at all. Believe me, they're very easy.
Well, from what you said, there's one every 2 or 3 miles.
Yeah, and sometimes
on the Rideau.
There's. You know, you have the longest flight is that 8 flight where they're grouped together. But there's a few that you have 5, and there's a few you have 3 or 2 at a time.
Uh-huh.
So you literally go into one, and then you go into the next one. So you almost think of them as one, but you still have the same process you have to go through.
I have no idea what that was. Excuse the that was somebody from Blog Radio. Sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
From there, you go through, you go up to the St. Lawrence, and you end up in Montreal. At the end, basically, where you get off the Ottawa River, you're pretty much in Montreal. And that's that. From there, you're going to get on the St. Lawrence. The St. Lawrence is from that point to Sorel is about 90 miles, but it's just straight shot. There's two locks all day. I think we did that whole run in one day. Because we just wanted to get where we were going. Let's see. From there, you get to Sorel, which is a cute little town. Not a whole lot going on in Sorel. And you enter the Richelieu. I'll get it right in a minute. The Richelieu River and the Chambly Canal, and that's another 80 miles. And you're in French part of Quebec there, and all the little towns are French, and there's some great places to eat and some cute little hotels, and, again, it's a lovely part of the trip. There's 10 locks on that section. And then you enter Lake Champlain, which is another beautiful piece of water. The lake, of course, has no locks on it. It's 107 miles long, but you've got Burlington, which is a nice town, Westport, quite a few spots that you can stop along the way.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of history there, too. You know, that's where the United States Navy was built. That's where the first naval battles were built. A lot of history. So it's an interesting place, particularly if you're an if you're a history buff. But it's spectacularly pretty, too.
Fantastic.
So from there,
if
you get into
I think we're going to stop quickly for a commercial from one of our commander sponsors, Pantaneous Insurance. I'm sorry, the official name is Pantaneous America LTD. Beth, go ahead, please.
What makes Pantaneous America's yacht insurance special? Pantaneous America provides coverage and flexibility without any hidden or implied warranties. Licensed in all 50 states, Pantaneous America offers unparalleled service through our international network of offices. Pantaneous America allows for extremely liberal navigational limits. Pantaneous America's experienced worldwide claims staff is there for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. With no deductible for fire, lightning, and total loss claims, Pantaneous America is always by your side. Call or visit us today and ask about our special offers for Great Loop Cruisers. 914-381-2066. Pantaneous America is a proud commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Thank you,
what
Beth.
What makes Pantaneous America's yacht insurance special?
Go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties with this recording today.
No problem at all. Actually, that's who has my boat insurance.
Oh, good.
I have been very pleased with them. Not that I've had to have any claims, but they've been very reasonable price-wise, and also cruising boundaries have been very liberal.
Oh, well, thank you for that. Why don't we go on before we do any more on distances? What length of time do you need to do? I mean, realistically, where you can stop and smell the roses, how much time should we allow for doing the Triangle Loop?
Well, we left the 28th of May, and we returned August 15th. And I could have easily stayed, if we had slowed down a bit, we could have easily stayed another month. But you have to remember, during that time, because of the canal damage on the Erie, you could take two weeks of that time, we couldn't move. So we actually left the boat and came home. So you could you could take 2 weeks out of that timeline and probably be fine.
Okay. How much time did you actually spend getting to the Erie and then getting back from the Chesapeake to, you know, from the Erie to the Chesapeake?
It took us about about a week each way.
A week each way. Okay, well, that gives us a good time frame.
Yeah, because
talk a little bit about the water depth. Well, you mentioned something about the currents. Is there any place that you need to be careful of with your draft?
Yes, there's two limiting factors to do this trip. One is your air draft, or the height of the boat, and the other is, of course, the draft of the boat. And our boat draws 4.5 feet, and with all my rig and everything up, I'm 24.5 feet tall, which is way too big for this. So the real controlling height is 17 feet. And I don't mean 17.1, I mean 17 feet.
17.
That's the maximum air draft you can get. Now, there's some confusion about that because there's two bridges on the Champlain Canal that say they maintain 15.5 feet, which is true. But if you tell the lockmaster that you need 17, they will drop the pool and get you through there at 17 feet.
Will they really? That's very cooperative of them.
So seven, but you have to you have to give them a little time. But 17 is the absolute highest you can. And the Rideau Canal says 5 feet is the maximum depth minimum depth that they'll allow.
Uh-huh.
But we never came anywhere close to that. I think the closest we ever saw was about 6 feet. So if you're drawing. Again, in our case, we drew 4.5 feet. We never touched bottom. We never hit any obstacles or obstructions or anything. So, but officially, 17 and 5 are the controlling heights and depths.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And you kind of touched on the number of locks. How is the schedule? I mean, is it pretty easy to work with, or do you have to call much in advance, or is it a set schedule for the locking?
Well, the schedules, it's not that the lock opens at a particular time. They have ranges of time. It's like for New York, for example, from now till September 10th, it's from 8 to 6 on the New York Canal systems. That would include the Erie, the Oswego, and the Champlain. In New York, Canada, it's run by the Park system, Parks Canada, and they're not quite as available. And so most of the time, generally speaking, it's 9 to 5 this time of year, but it cuts down to 10 to 4 later in the year that you go. But what's important to know is you have to be in the queue before their quitting time. So in other words, you don't want to show up at 5 o'clock and expect to go through. You got to be up there so they can get you in by 5 o'clock.
So 4 o'clock, you think 4:30 is pretty
reasonable? Yeah, I would do that. I would definitely do that. And also, we encountered a situation last year where they had a similar to what our government went through. They were trying to save money, and they cut the time back to 4 o'clock.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, so you might want to just check.
Yeah.
And, which brings me to permits. You need to get the permits for these canals. They're not free.
That's a good point. I forgot to put that on my list of questions. Where do you get the permits? Is it something that's available? I know the New York State canal system now is available online.
Yes, you can buy all of them online. But what I would recommend is you, when you get to the first lock in the Canadian system, by then you'll have a good sense for how fast you're going and all that. You can decide what you want to do because you can buy a season pass. You can buy a day pass, you can buy a week's pass. There's different options you can buy.
Uh-huh.
And they, you know, depending on how long you think you're going to go. We ended up buying annual passes for both the New York and the Canadian system.
Canadian.
Yeah, you can't buy a pass. At least we weren't able to buy a pass for the St. Lawrence River. That's separate from the Canadian park system.
Get a pass for that, or you don't need one, or...
Well, when you get to the lock, there's actually a automated, like a teller, and you can go up there with your credit card and you can buy a pass. And as I recall, it was $32 a pass, I think.
That's not bad.
No, but you can do that right when you pull up to the lock. You'll see a little place off to the side with a dock, and you can dock and go up there and put your card in, get your pass, and then get back in the queue to line up for the locks.
Okay. My next question has to do with weather. What can we expect if our loopers are going to do the triangle loop in the next, say, month or so?
Well, generally speaking, you're going to have the same, the same weather that you would typically have, like in New York or Massachusetts. It was very cool in the mornings a lot of times, particularly the further we were up in Canada. We did have a few hot days. There were some hot days on Lake Champlain, and there were some hot days in the Erie Canal, but not anything that you would expect to be out of the ordinary.
Okay. Weather's kind of been crazy this year all over the place, I think.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is these spring storms, and we're probably pretty much over the heavy rain, because the rain is the thing that will destroy and close the New York locks. The Canadian locks didn't really have much of a weather issue, but the Erie Canal is really affected by heavy rains.
I think we've learned that in the last couple of years.
Yeah, so you watch the rainfall, and what's interesting you have to keep in mind, it's not necessarily what's happening in Troy, New York. It's what's happening up in the Catskill Mountains and further west is what's going to drive the damage.
Yeah. Okay. We only have a few minutes left, Jim. Can you touch briefly on the greatest? I know you said Montreal, Ottawa, with beautiful towns to see. Is there anything that we should absolutely not miss?
Well, I really, really enjoy the Rideau Canal. I just would not miss that. And there are ways that you can do that where you can miss it, where you can go down the St. Lawrence. I would not miss the Rideau. I would take that as a side trip. As far as towns, Kingston was a lovely town. Ottawa was lovely. Montreal. Now, we stayed right downtown in what they call the Old Port in Montreal. You literally can get off, walk right into downtown. You need to make a reservation for that, but here's a little tidbit for our listeners. I tried to make a reservation for that port 2 weeks beforehand, and they were booked up.
The morning
of, the morning of my arrival, I called them, and they had an opening, and I went right in. So I would even try it on the, you know, the day of your arrival, because that worked well for us. I can't say it'll work time, but
it'll work out.
Yeah. We had no problems finding dockage pretty much anywhere along the way. We would call generally the day of our arrival, or even two if we were, you know, knew we'd be close. One place that I would recommend on the Rideau Canal, there's an old place called the Hotel Kinney. It's at, I believe it's Smith Falls, I believe, or Jones Falls. Can't recall.
Okay.
But it's called the Hotel Kinney. It's an old hotel. It's only open in the summertime. I would spend at least a day there. You can dock right at the front of the hotel. They have a dinner, a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The grounds are just very quiet and tranquil and just beautiful. And the locks, the locking station is just spectacular, too.
Right.
We spent one night on the north side of the locks, and then we spent another 2 days down at the hotel. I would definitely enjoy that. If you like quiet, serenity, and that sort of thing, if you're looking for the nightlife, stay in Montreal and Ottawa.
I think I like the hotel. And one quick question. Can we provision along the way, or do we need to be pretty well stocked up before we start that trip?
There was lots of opportunities to provision along the way. Lots of opportunities. We of course, on our boat, we have a freezer and two full refrigerators, so we can carry a lot.
We
ate out quite a bit. There was plenty of grocery stores and shops. It became sort of a joke with us, it was to buy the local ice cream. And, of course, in Burlington, that's where Ben & Jerry's was founded. So we went to the original Ben & Jerry's place and got ice cream there.
Okay.
New York.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, up in Canada, they have this other brand of ice cream that's sort of they're famous for. And so each town we tried to get some of the local ice cream, and we never had a problem finding any.
Fantastic. Well, we are just about out of time, Jim. I can't thank you enough again for taking time from your busy schedule. I know this is a really busy time of the year for Regatta Point, but thank you. That's all I can say. I appreciate it, and it sounds like a wonderful trip.
Okay. Well, if anybody needs anything or if they have any specific questions, they're more than welcome to go on my website and send me an email. It's docmaster@regentpointmarina.com. R-E-G-E-N-T.
I'm sorry, I had been saying that wrong. I apologize for that, Jim.
That's not a problem.
Thank you very much again from Regent Point, and stay well, and everyone have safe cruising until next week. Have a great week, Jim. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye. Thank you all. Bye-bye.